Our scripture text is found in John chapter 3, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And what was coined as one of the trials of the century, I can remember as if it were yesterday, the eyes of America, if not the entire world, were glued to their television sets, awaiting the verdict. Is he guilty or not guilty? The country was divided down the center. Many blacks were hoping for a not guilty verdict, while the hearts of many white Americans were hoping for a verdict of guilty. And with the all-star lineup of defense attorneys, of whom the most notable one, Johnny Cochran, whose key phrase is still resident in most of our hearts and minds to this day, if it don't fit, you must acquit. O.J. Simpson stood there helpless as he listened to testimony, some good and some bad. But the scary thought was that some was tainted, falsified to better induce a guilty verdict. It shows if a man think he's right, what lengths he'll go through, even if it means making some immoral judgments to make sure people see things the way he sees them. I would like to say to you today that this attempt failed. Now, whether O.J. Simpson really did it or not, I don't know. That's between God and O.J. But what I do know is that day, O.J. was acquitted of all his charges. That day, the jury that deliberated over his trial became his acquitters. This day, I would like to tell you all that there we have someone serving as our lawyer, judge, and juror. Today, I would like to talk to you about Jesus Christ, our acquitter. Let us pray. Father, right now, we just ask that you would move within our hearts. Lord, we're asking for deliverance. We're asking for victory. Lord, I'm praying right now that the words that will come through my mouth have not been words from Kelvin, but Lord, that each word has been ordained by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, Father, that everybody who is listening to this message right now, Lord, will feel your spirit moving in their life. Lord, give us victory is our prayer. In the precious and the holy name of Jesus, Father, we do pray. Amen. The Bible records in the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to John that as Jesus went back to the temple after leaving the Mount of Olives, a conniving and cutthroat group of scribes and Pharisees seized a woman in the act who was known for her sinful and promiscuous behavior. And that's what the Bible says, that she was caught in the very act of adultery. I believe that the singer Rick James must have known this woman personally, for she was the type of girl that you wouldn't take home to mother. Oh, she was stacked and packed. She knew how to use what she had to get what she wanted. She wasn't afraid to shake it fast and watch herself. She had no problems with showing people what she was working with. And when she walked past the fellas, they were shut out bada boom, bada bing. Oh, she was known by almost everybody in the neighborhood. And boy, was she known. For she had been around, went around, turned back around with almost all the fellas in the neighborhood. And even when she walked past the ladies, she can sense the haterade dripping off of their lips. She thinks she all that. I don't believe that girl left the house wearing something like that. Girl, you better watch her. She faster than a bolt of lightning. You better watch your man. See, this lady desired attention, but she still wasn't happy with the attention that she received. See, everybody talked about her and told her what she shouldn't be doing, but nobody ever tried to befriend her. Nobody ever showed her that they truly cared for her. So she just kept on rebelling. See, nobody knows why she turned out to be an adulterer. Maybe she was raped or abused. Maybe she had God-fearing parents but didn't listen to their godly counsel and got caught up in a lifestyle that was no good. But when she tried to come back, everybody talked about her like she was no good. And she felt to herself that if people see me this way, how can God see me any different? See, we don't know why this woman ended up this way, but here we are. And as Jesus taught in the temple, this conniving group of scribes and Pharisees drug in this beautiful and terror-stricken woman and threw her down at the very feet of Jesus. And this brings us to our first point. When you feel down and out, busted and disgusted, if you feel like there's no hope for you, the place where you need to be is at the feet of Jesus. Because in his arms, there's peace. In the arms of Jesus, there's refuge. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David says this in Psalms 32, verses 1 through 5. Psalms 32, verses 1 through 5. And I'm actually reading in the New Living Translation. This is what David says. Oh, what joy for those whose rebellion is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. Now listen here to me. When I refused to confess my sins, I was weak and miserable. I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy upon me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me all my guilt. Is gone. And I'm going to read verse 6 as well. Therefore, let all the godly confess their rebellion to you while there is still time, that they may not be drowned in the flood waters of the judgment. See, I believe that God had been speaking to this young lady, and that's probably why she really didn't have any peace in her life. And God had been trying to speak to her for a while. And see, some of us are battling these same feelings, feelings of hopelessness, feelings of despair. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But see, maybe you feel like, you know, God, I knew what the right thing to do was, and how can you forgive me? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. John writes, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. The New Living Translation says, you have someone pleading for you, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation, or the one who made atonement for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. Listen, today, it does not matter who you are, whether in the church or outside the church. If you need help, then come to Jesus. The Bible says this in John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Some versions say that Jesus will never reject you. So today, if you feel helpless, if you feel like there's no hope for you, you feel down and out, the place where you need to be is at the feet of Jesus. Amen. The second point I would like to suggest to you is this. Before you go out and try to cast somebody into the lake of fire and brimstone for their stuff, you need to make sure your stuff is straight first. So often we try to force people to do the right thing. We try to force them to accept new truths, and we haven't fully surrendered our hearts to God. But yet we feel as if they don't accept our message, then they should be cast into the lake and fire of brimstone. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Turn there with me if you would. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. It says this. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, And then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Have mercy, have mercy. See, the truth of the matter is this. When we claim to be Christians, when we profess to be Christians, we should be able to say from the bottom of our hearts and from our actions, follow me as I follow Christ. But see, too many of us have made too many cop-outs for not surrendering our hearts fully to God. We tell folks, don't follow me. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And that's true to an extent. But the fact is this, once we claim to be a Christian, we are supposed to be walking in his light by the power of God. The Bible says he is able to keep us from falling. Do we believe what the Bible says, or are we going to go with our own feelings tell us? The Bible says that there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling. See, you had these men who were trapped, who trapped this lady. They were so ready to point out her sins. They were so ready to cast eternal judgment upon her. And, you know, before I go here, I need to talk about the types of judgment, because a lot of times people, they think we aren't supposed to make character calls and things. So I need to express what I mean by judgment. You know, sometimes, you know, I've had people who used to steal all the time. And, you know, you call them a thief and they say, you judge me. And the truth of the matter is, you're not judging them. If you take something that don't belong to you, according to the dictionary or encyclopedia or whatever else, they call you a thief. That's not judging you. You know, I say it like this. If it bark like a dog and wag its tail like a dog, I'm going to call it a dog. See, you know, we got to get to the point. See, and we have some parents here who are listening to this message right now. You know, you got to make some judgment calls. Sometimes you ain't going to always feel comfortable. You got kids, and you about to send your kids over to somebody's house, and you about to take them up in the yard, and the person standing there with two meat cleavers around their neck. You're not going to feel too comfortable with allowing your kids to go up in that yard. Now, people might say you judging them or whatever, but you got to also make some judgment calls. Now, the type of judgment that the Bible says that we shouldn't make is eternal judgment. We should never say to anybody that you're never going to be any good. We should never tell people that they're never going to change. We should never say there's no hope for you, and you might as well just go straight to hell. See, we're not supposed to make those type of judgments, because those judgments are what's considered to be eternal judgment. We can never say what a person will never be, because by God's grace, this man stands here before you today talking to an ex-drug dealer. So I know what the grace of God can do. When people used to look at me and tell me what I was and I was no good, I know by the grace of God, he is able to save. So we should never cast judgment. And see, these men wanted Jesus to cast eternal judgment upon this woman. They said unto Jesus in verse 4, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law command us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? So the Bible says that Jesus began to He knelt down and began to start writing something in the dirt. And I don't know whatever he wrote, but whatever he wrote must have struck a nerve, because a couple of those scribes and Pharisees shut their traps quick and quickly tiptoed out of the temple. See, the truth of the matter is that none of us can stand face to face with Jesus. See, even in the church, I think some of us have forgotten where God has brought us from. And some of us have forgot what God is doing in our lives right now. If God was to weigh the judgment on us right now, we all would die. For the wages of sin is death. The Bible says this in Psalms 130. Psalms 130. Turn there if you with me, if you would. Psalms 130. Verses 3 through 5. It says, Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? But you offer forgiveness that we might learn to fear you. I am counting on the Lord. Yes, I am counting on him. I have put my hope in his word. We can trust Jesus this day. He said if we confess our faults, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Only by his grace we shall be saved. So as long as God haven't made that final claim, let him that is just be just still, and him that is filthy be filthy still. We need to be pleading for the mercy of God in the lives of our friends, our families, and even our enemies. We need to be praying for mercy upon this entire world. That's what the church is supposed to be doing right now, and asking that God's spirit will rain down into the lives and change young people and change older people from a lifestyle that they're shackled into, that God want to release them, that they think they're stuck in. We need to be praying that God's spirit will rain down so heavy upon them. And the Bible says that after Jesus had stood up and said, let him without sin cast the first stone, the Bible says that a few of those numbskulls were just standing there, fidgeting with some rocks in their hands. I guess they thought because their sins were behind closed doors, they thought nobody wouldn't recognize them. But see, one thing I'm going to tell you is the Bible says those things that are brought in darkness will be brought to light. And Jesus knelt back down a final time and began again to start writing in the dirt. And after he wrote what he wrote this time, and y'all got to realize it was a crowd of people around recognizing everything. So they saw what Jesus wrote out. The Bible says that the rest of those scribes and Pharisees dropped their heads and walked out, from the oldest to the youngest. Now, I want you all to look at something. Did y'all notice something as these people walked out of the temple? Look at the verse right here. Look, do you all notice something? Not one of them said to Jesus, now Moses said in the law that we deserve death for what we done. Oh, no. Every single one of them was screaming mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. See, the crazy thing is, it's like, we expect God to bring judgment upon somebody else, but yet when we do the wrong thing, the first thing we scream is mercy. If we desire mercy in our lives, then that means we must first show mercy. If we want forgiveness in our lives, then we must forgive. The Bible says this in John chapter 6, verses 36 through 38. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run over, shall men give into your bosom. And this is what I want you all to hear. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So before you try to beat down somebody, before you try to hold a grudge and not forgive, remember that God will judge you with the same measuring stick that you have shown to others. Let him without sin cast the first stone. Our final point is this. As we look at this story about the woman in adultery, as we look at the shame, the heartache, and the pain that this woman endured, one thing I want you all to recognize is this. Is that it was never really about this woman. I mean, she went through a lot of stuff, but this story was really never about her. It was really about them trying to destroy Jesus. It was really about them trying to tear down the character of God. See, they knew this woman's lifestyle before now, so if they wanted to destroy her, they could have been destroyed her. But now she served as a pawn in their sadistic trap to tear down Jesus. Listen, this woman was publicly humiliated. The Bible says that she was caught in the very act of adultery. She probably didn't even have any clothes on. It's quite possible that all she was wrapped in was the sheet from the bed that they drug her off of. But whatever it was, these men did not care about the welfare of this woman. They did not care about her as long as they can hurt Jesus in the end. And here it is. Some of us are going through some things. Some of us are going through what appear to be the battle of our lifetime. And we're trying to figure out, why is this happening? But the devil does not care about any of us. He's going to try to embarrass us, discourage us, belittle us, bewilder us. And I want you all to understand one thing. It's still not about us. The devil is really trying to hurt God. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." See, the devil's plan is by any means necessary to tear down God's kingdom. If it means using people to hurt you to get to Jesus, he will do it. If it means placing people in your life to tear you down to get to Jesus, then Lucifer will do it. If it means causing havoc in your home, if it will make you turn away from God, then it will get to Jesus. Then the devil will do it. If it takes using people in your lives to ask you, what are you doing with your life? You need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. If that will tear you down and make you doubt God and distrust God, then he know that that will affect Jesus. So he will do it. By any means necessary, if the devil can destroy the Jesus in you, he will do it. But another thought, another scary thought. How many of you all recognize that the devil wants to use you? He wants to use me to destroy the Jesus or kill the spirit in somebody else. Look around you. Look on your job, at school. Is the devil using you to tear down somebody else's spirit? See, you have these learned men who call themselves God elite, and yet they were being used by the devil. The story goes on to say in John chapter 10, when Jesus lifted himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee?" As she sat there with tears streaming from her eyes and mascara staining her face, she said unto Jesus, "No man, Lord." And she began to cry even harder because she knew that the one who stood before her, Jesus, the sinless one, he had the right to stone her. For he could have surpassed picking up a stone and picked up a boulder and killed her. And yet, the next few words that came from his mouth stunned her. Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." The circumstances to how this woman was brought to Jesus was cold and harsh. But all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. The fact of the matter is that some of us are trapped in some situation, some sin, some habits, that it seems like there's no hope for us. We feel like God can't possibly love us. But the Bible says, "For God so loved the world." You know what? That's too impersonal. For God so loved Kelvin. For God so loved Ronson. For God so loved Delina. For God so loved Mike. For God so loved Kenna. For God so loved Ada. For God so loved Tracy. For God so loved Lisa. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What is it that's in your life right now that the devil keeps throwing up in your face, making you feel like you can't be forgiven? Right now, God is saying to you, "It's gone. I forgive you. I've come to set the captives free." Right now, whatever you're struggling with, I want you to bring it to Jesus. And he's saying, "If you confess it to me, I will take it from you." Listen, the circumstances to which you've been going through might have been rough, might have been tough. The devil might have caused all kind of havoc just to kind of force you down against the ground. But God can use one thing that the devil desires for our harm and use it for our good. Come to Jesus while there's still time. What are you struggling with? Today, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. God is willing to forgive you. All you have to do is just to lay all your sins, all your burdens, all your problems, all your cares at his altar and leave it there. God is ready to forgive you. God is ready to release you. Do you want to be free today? If you desire to be free, then ask God to take it from you. Ask God to show you. See, today we have a God who's sitting up there pleading for us. He's pleading for each and every one of our souls. And if you desire to be a part of his blood-washed army, all you have to do is just surrender. Today, I offer you Jesus Christ, our acquitter. I want to leave you all with this as I close. It's a story I heard. It's an allegory. It's called A Contest. And the story goes like this. One day, Lucifer was kind of walking around, kind of mad the fact that Jesus had won back humanity at the Calvary. So he kind of felt like, you know, he was unfairly treated. So he went to the gates of heaven, and I guess he asked the angel, can I speak to God? And Jesus came up, and his father came behind him, and he said, you know what? I feel like I was unfairly treated. I feel like I should have had another chance to get the human race back. And God the Father started turning around and went and said, Satan, I'm not going to even pay you no mind. And Jesus said, well, Father, let's ask, what do you got in mind? And he kind of looked through the gates, and he saw that Jesus was sitting at a computer. So he said, well, let's have us a typing contest. And Jesus said, okay, we can have a typing contest. So the stage was set. You had Lucifer sitting down and all his imps over there cheering him on like, come on, you can do this, you can do this. And then Jesus sat down with the whole heavenly host, and they just screaming, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And all of a sudden, God the Father raised his hand, and everybody in heaven just silenced. And he said, on the count of three, the contest will begin. One, two, three, go. And they start typing. And Satan looked over at Jesus' paper. Jesus had one line and Satan had two lines. He said, yeah, I'm beating him. So after about a minute or two, Satan looked over at Jesus' paper. Jesus had a half a page and Satan had a whole page. He said, yeah, I'm winning. So another couple minutes went past, and I think it was about 5 minutes. And Lucifer looked over at Jesus' paper and he saw that Jesus only had two pages and he had 3.5 pages. He said, yes, I'm going to win this. So he kept on typing, and it got up to 8 minutes, and he looked over at Jesus. Jesus had 4 pages and Lucifer had 6 pages. He said, this is a sure win. We only got a couple minutes to go. And it got to 9 minutes, and he looked over. Jesus only had 7 pages and he had 10 pages. And all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but the lights just cut out in heaven. And you heard a scream from Lucifer. No! I lost everything. But he said, you know, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. As soon as the power cut back on, I'm going to start typing. And I know I can beat him. So all of a sudden, boom, the power come back on. And Lucifer started typing real fast. And he's typing. And then he just looked over at Jesus. And he noticed that Jesus still has 7 pages. And then he starts screaming, Jesus cheated. He cheated. How do he still got 7 pages? And I ain't have nothing. And God the Father just looked kind of crazy at Lucifer and said, huh? Like, how do you still got 7 pages? I thought everybody knew. Jesus saves. It doesn't matter what you're going through, Jesus saves. You might be struggling through some type of addiction right now, but Jesus saves. You might be in a bad relationship right now, but Jesus saves. You might be in one of the trials of your lifetime, but if you just lay your life upon Jesus right now, he can save you through the midst of this. All I ask for you today is just give Jesus a try. He wants to be your lawyer. He wants to be your judge. He wants to be your juror. He wants you to be a part of his blood-washed army. What do you desire today? I give to you Jesus Christ, our acquitter.
Because of him, I am made free.
Today, I don't know who you are. If you need help, if you need somebody to fall on, there's no other name under heaven which man can be saved by than that of the name of Jesus Christ. At the name of Jesus, the devil will bow down. I give to you this day, Jesus, our Redeemer, Jesus, our Acquitter. Whatever you need in your life today, just ask Jesus to help you. Now, as I pray, I just pray and hope that you're asking for God to truly move in your life right now. Because if you desire it, he will come in. Lord, Father, you know our hearts. You know our minds. Lord, you know our struggles. But yet greater is he who is in us than he that is in this world. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I'm asking that you would bind anything that the devil has in store for us. Lord, that you would cast him to the farthest depths of the sea. Cast him out of our presence. Lord, right now, some people need just a few days just to make an intelligent choice for you. Lord, if that's what they need, Lord, I'm just asking that you would allow the devil to back off of them so that they can choose you. Lord, to whomever it may be, whoever may this sermon may find in their life, Lord, whoever listened to this, Lord, I'm just praying right now that you would breathe forth deliverance in their life. Lord, Father, for there's no one else I know who can do this but you. Lord, Father, people touch the hem of your garment and they will heal. So, Lord, right now, I'm just asking that you would bring healing upon somebody's life. Touch them in the name of Jesus, Father. Lord, I'm praying, Father, for deliverance. I'm praying, Father, for victory. Lord, in your mighty name, in your magnificent name, in the precious and the holy name of Jesus, Father, I'm asking that you would give peace. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. We thank you, Lord, for just using the ministry of standing for Christ. Lord, and we just pray that we can go out and just lift you up. For in your word, you say, if you be lifted up, that you will draw men into yourself. So, Lord, I pray, Father, that through the song, through the sermon, that all we try to do is lift up Jesus. So, Lord, I pray right now that you would do what you do best, and that's to save. Save us in your kingdom. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, Father, we do pray. Amen.